What is the difference between a Roman Catholic and a Christian? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I want to remind you of something we've been talking about all week, and it's our national conference, which is coming up very soon. Our national conference happens October 26th through the 29th. It's going to be at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. Now, if you've never been to one of our national conferences, I would highly encourage you to make it part of your year this year. You can find out more about our national conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on the Events tab. Well, let's get right into today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are talking about your questions. We love discussing these. We get some great questions, don't we?
Oh, we really do.
I mean, we get some kind of softball questions, but we get
a lot of curveballs breaking across the plate, and we get lots of hard pitches.
Well, and you know, that's one of the limits of doing a 15-minute show or a 12-minute show is that, in a way, that almost self-selects for the medium to easy hard questions. Here's a question from Craig. And he just asks, what's the difference between a Catholic and a Christian? Probably we need to talk about what the term Christian means in the Bible and what it means today.
Okay, right. Acts 11:35, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians.
No.
They were called Christians by the unbelievers.
Right.
And Christians there seems to refer to something like little Christ or maybe
right.
Followers of Christ. Then you also have Peter talking about if anyone suffers as a Christian.
Right.
The only other use of the word Christian in the entire New Testament is in the book of Acts when Paul is talking to King Agrippa. Agrippa says, Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian.
Mm.
In that context, it's interesting because Paul had just said that I know you believe the prophets. It seems that Paul was talking about the prophets' prophecies about Messiah. So it seems that Paul is saying, I know you're a believer. And then he says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian, which the way we use the word Christian today would seem contradictory because we think Christian equals believer. I think Christian equals a believing follower of Christ. That's in all three of the passages. Suffering as a Christian,
yeah.
The disciples were first called Christian. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. So that Agrippa could have been a believer in Christ, but not openly.
Mm.
And so as a result, persuading him to become a Christian would be persuading him to come out in the open and say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think a Christian is different than a born-again person. It's a born-again person who's openly confessing his faith in Christ. So you could be a Christian today, and then let's say 2 years from now, you stop going to church, you stopped telling people you were a Christian, you stopped identifying as a believer in Jesus Christ, you'd still be born again, but you'd no longer be a Christian. Now, if I were a politician, they'd take this out of context and they'd play it on CNN and they'd say, see, Bob said you being a Christian.
What you're saying is, let's say someone in North Korea, they somehow hear the gospel, they believe in Jesus for eternal life,
right?
But they have to live their lives as a faithful member of the North Korean government.
Right.
And they can never publicly express their faith in Christ, and they keep it completely to themselves. Well, I've read that if you're a believer there, you can't even tell your wife or your children because they might snitch on you and
you'd end up in a gulag.
Right. So you have to keep it quiet even from them. So you would say that person is born again. They have everlasting life. They're secure. But they're not a Christian in the sense of they're not openly following Christ. It's not a public thing.
That's the way I would understand the term Christian. The question is, what's the difference between a Christian and a Catholic?
Well, let's talk about, so what is a Christian today? What most people understand by Christian is anybody, doesn't matter what denomination you're from, anybody who identifies as some type of believer of Jesus.
Okay, now if you wanted to do it that way, then a Christian would be anyone who is openly identifying with Jesus, whether they're born again or not.
Yeah. Like, I know I'm not Buddhist. I know I'm not Hindu. I'm a Christian.
Right.
And so, like, for sociologists, it's like anyone who identifies with a Christian church or denomination, really.
So in that sense, there's no difference between Christian and Catholic,
right,
because all Catholics would call themselves Christians.
Right.
So would all Mormons. Right. All Latter-day Saints would call themselves Christians.
Right.
So would Jehovah's Witnesses. They all call themselves Christians. I think the term Christian in the New Testament is a born-again person who is openly confessing Christ. But regardless, that's not how we use the word today.
So in a common use of the word Christian, there is no difference between a Roman Catholic and a Christian, because in the common use of the word Christian, it's just anyone who identifies with a historically Christian church, and the Roman Catholic Church is a historically Christian church, so they're Christian. But what you're saying is there's a biblical sense of the term Christian, and that's someone who has believed in Jesus savingly,
right,
and who is openly following Christ.
Right. Now, Craig's question, when he asked what's the difference between a Christian and a Catholic, I think by Christian he means born-again person.
Right. So in that sense, we would say Roman Catholics are not, and listen, I want to say this with as much gentleness and with as much love as possible.
Sure.
That a Roman Catholic person is not a Christian in the biblical sense because they believe in salvation by works and they don't believe in the promise of eternal life.
Right. Having said that, there are some Roman Catholics, and there's other kinds of Catholics too, but among the Roman Catholics, there are some Roman Catholics who at one point in their life believed the promise of everlasting life.
Right.
And then became a Catholic. In fact, there are many examples of Protestants who have gone to Rome. And some of those Protestants are born-again people who've lost their way. So I would say there are Roman Catholics who are born again, but they're not born again by believing Roman Catholic doctrine.
Yeah, you don't get born again by praying to Mary or taking the sacraments or getting baptized as a baby or any of those things. If you were born again, it's because at some point in your life, all it took was a second, that you read John 3:16 or John 3:36, whosoever believes has everlasting life. And for that one second, they believed in Jesus for that free gift, and they were born again at that moment.
Right.
That's all it takes to be saved. So that's all it takes for any, if any Catholic was born again, it was because it took that one moment of faith. But what they preach about salvation in the Roman Catholic Church is false. And to be fair, if you think that's mean to say, they would say the same thing about us. And they have said the same thing about our position, that faith alone is a false gospel. It was condemned at the Council of Trent. You need works.
Well, Council of Trent anathematized justification by faith alone.
Right.
Now, modern popes and modern Catholic teaching sees Protestants as other brethren, which is contrary to their own doctrine, because Catholic doctrine is there's only salvation in the church,
right,
and the church is only the Roman Catholic Church.
Right. There's been a lot of development in Catholic thought since Vatican II, and Karl Rahner is a very famous theologian. He's the one who said that. There's a lot of anonymous Christians, he said. These are people who don't belong to the Roman Catholic Church, but somehow are saved anyways. And so there's a lot of development in Roman Catholic thought. But just as I don't get all upset by Roman Catholics saying that we have a false gospel, I hope that any Roman Catholic listening won't get upset by us saying the Catholic Church has a false gospel. And rather than get emotional about it, let's just compare Scripture. I mean, does John 3:16, that way of salvation, fit with what the Roman Catholic Church teaches about salvation?
Exactly. And if someone is Roman Catholic, my encouragement to them would be to search the Scriptures to see if what we're saying is true. Acts 17, verse 11, those in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, yeah, for they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I would suggest that your view of how we are born again could be wrong. And if it is wrong, wouldn't you want to know the truth? You wouldn't want to go through life going on a way that is not leading to spending eternity with the Lord. Of course, the beauty is we're not on a way that leads to eternity with the Lord. We already have everlasting life.
I love that you said that, because a Roman Catholic can just compare their beliefs to that at that one point. Jesus says, if you believe, you have everlasting life.
Right. John 3:16, John 5:24.
I know I have it. And
right,
you know you have it.
Right.
Now, to a Roman Catholic, do you know that you have it? Or have you been taught that you can't be sure, that you're slowly climbing the ladder to salvation, climbing towards getting that beatific vision, sometimes they call it that, and that maybe somehow, if you're good enough, then you'll get it after you die? Is that the salvation message that you were taught? Well, how does that compare to what Jesus promised? Whoever believes has everlasting life. Do you believe that?
That's a good point. And there are so many things, and it's not just Catholics. Orthodox and Protestants have lots of traditions that aren't found in the Bible. Oh, For example, last rites.
Yes.
We don't find it anywhere in the Bible. It's just created.
There's a Catholic theologian I really like. I won't say his name, but I was just reading his blog the other day, and he was really upset because during this coronavirus, in order to avoid spreading the virus, priests are now handing the wafer in the hand instead of placing it on the person's tongue. And for him, this was an abomination. How could you put this wafer in a person's hand that goes against everything that they believe? And all these commentators were like, that is horrible. I mean, this is just chaos. This is anarchy. And I was reading this thinking to myself, the Lord's Supper was a meal, and they didn't have forks and spoons and knives. Right. You ate the Lord's Supper with your hand. So how did you go from the biblical Lord's Supper to this crazy tradition where you have to get it put onto your tongue, and it's a horrible thing to get it put onto your hand? I mean, as a Catholic, you have to compare your traditions with what the Bible says, and you've got to realize that what you're doing has nothing to do with the Bible.
And, of course, they don't get to drink of the cup.
Right.
Only the priest gets to drink of the cup.
Right.
And it's clear in the Last Supper that the disciples drank of the cup. Of course, Judas had already gone out, but all of the other disciples drank of the cup,
right,
and they were all believers.
And in Corinthians, Paul warned about getting drunk. Like, don't get drunk at the Lord's Supper.
Because they were drinking.
Because they were drinking,
wine.
Right? Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for that question, Craig. I hope that we've answered it. If you're a Roman Catholic, I really want to encourage you to keep on listening to the program. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to our website, faithalone.org, listen to previous episodes, and search up your questions. Whatever Bible question you have, we probably have an article about it. Check our website out and certainly send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. I do know that we have conferences. COVID has kind of thrown us a little bit of a loop in terms of conferences.
Well, we were supposed to have our conference May 18 through 21, and now it's moved to October 26 through 29.
Right. So
and
that's
it'll be in Coppell, Texas.
That's our national conference. It's just about 15 minutes away from the DFW airport. We'd really encourage you to come. We're planning on holding it. Only God knows the future. God willing, we're going to have it there. If you want to see us in person or hear us in person, be sure to check out the events page at our website, faithalone.org. As COVID winds down, God willing, we will be having our speaking more and more.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not Jesus had to undergo multiple types of death. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.